80% of sales and marketing leaders are expecting revenue growth from AI incorporation into GTM strategies. And on top of that, about 70% of people believe that companies that fail to incorporate AI into their GTM process would fall behind their competitors by 2026.
Hello and welcome to Confessions of a B2B Marketer. My name is Tom, your host, and today we are joined by Winnie Palmer, who is a Senior Director of Marketing at Seismic Sales Enablement Technology. And today we talk about what Winnie learned from the last year or 2 years marketing at Seismic, what is the focus for 2024, and then also the use and use cases of AI in B2B at Seismic right now. So we'll jump into that after we give a quick shout out to Fame.so, the company that are producing this show. If you want one like this, then please go to Fame.so, request a proposal, tell them that I sent you, and then we will make sure we look after you in the process. And it also gives me some attribution for this pod, which is always useful when requesting budget from the budget holder, which also happens to be me. Anyway, let's jump into this discussion with Winnie right now. Winnie, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
So I want to talk about primarily your view on the world of digital and how it's evolved, let's say, over the past few years or even longer, because obviously I don't want to age you at all, but you have been in the game for a few years. And so I'd love for your input on how you see things changing in the world of digital marketing.
I think digital has changed a lot, but on the other hand, it hasn't at all. And this is how I see it. Fundamentally for me, digital is about leveraging data, content, tools to deliver a personalized experience at scale. And while you do that, you need to have quite a robust processes and tracking in place to ensure ongoing optimization of performance. And that's what I've always understood as the heart and soul of digital marketing. Do you agree?
That sounds like a good definition. It sounds like a definition that is almost timeless, which I guess is your point to digital marketing, maybe not changing that much.
I think the why hasn't changed, but a few things have changed though. Of course, at the implementation level, one thing I can call out, everybody knows already, is the increased sophistication of digital marketing. And we can throw in AI already now. A decade ago, when we talk about digital, we would talk about maybe targeted content distribution and interactive experience. Now with AI, not only we have a way to predict propensity to buy and automatically recommend content, now with AI, we have a way to become highly contextually relevant. And videos are great examples. You can now serve ads in YouTube programmatically based on weather forecast.
Really?
Yeah, literally serving different versions of ads based on whether it's sunny or raining, whether it's hot or cold, and overlaying that with an understanding of a specific piece of video to help ensure contextual relevancy and brand safety intelligently. So all this is done in an automated fashion as well. And this is a lot more advanced than a decade ago. And I think there's a second point is that there's an increased emphasis on integration. And I'm not talking about integration across the various marketing mix. I'm talking about integration between sales and marketing. Or even further than that, integration between sales, marketing, customer success partners, and professional services teams even. Basically, your entire go-to-market engine underpinned by integrated operations, or people call it revenue operations, through data, through tools, through content to drive alignment and consistency across your entire revenue engine.
Makes total sense. I've definitely seen this from our side of Fame, but also from like the B2B content that I'm consuming, is that these teams, specifically the three revenue teams, sales, marketing, customer success, are like smashing into one. Are you seeing that at Seismic? Because you're obviously responsible for marketing in EMEA region, I believe.
Yeah, totally. I mean, that's what we're doing, right? If we talk about B2B specifically, not just Seismic, but I'm looking at what my clients do as well. A few years ago in B2B, the game in town was demand generation for growth, maybe even growth at all costs. At least that's how it was like for SaaS firms back then. But it's a bit like that for other businesses too, where the money was relatively cheap. Now the market condition has changed and the focus is no longer just about growth for the sake of growth, but efficient growth, sustainable growth, profitability. So you do need to have a way to really drive more productivities and efficiencies into your go-to-market engine. Therefore, like you saying that before, you know, all the different functions need to come together. And at Seismic, what we're doing is an increased focus on end-to-end customer lifetime value. And reflective of this strategy, this shift, digital for me no longer just focuses on acquisition motions. What it means is that it starts to play a role in account-based marketing, customer expansion, renewal, upsell, cross-sell, and driving that continuous buyer engagement and customer advocacy over time.
It makes total sense.
Yeah.
But is that your job as the marketing leader? Should that not be with the head of customer success?
Well, who owns the channel, who owns the tool, is the person who's going to drive the program. At Seismic, the customer marketing piece, if you want to call that out specifically, it's of course a collaboration. We are talking about integration. It's not one person or the other person doing this in silos or one team or the other team. But the point is that digital can enable all this because digital has the inherent capabilities to deliver personalization at scale.
Makes total sense. So are you saying then that your role has shifted a little bit in that it's less focused on acquisition and more focused on ensuring that the customers that you do have stay with you for longer and spend more money?
Good question. I would say the balance definitely has changed. For many, many years, marketing, at least for my role in our space, building a new product category, building new market, is about net new acquisition. So there was a very heavy emphasis for marketing to invest in acquisition. Now, since the time changed, just like any other businesses, we're seeing more and more revenue represented within our existing customer base. So it's not just the adoption part that is still customer success's remit, but how do we map out the accounts? How do we provide intelligence to enable account-based marketing, account-based selling, and the sales enablement at the back of it? All follow the same principle, right? Align your content with your selling motion to deliver that personalized buyer experience and using technology to help you deliver that. Yes, my role has changed.
And you're, I guess, now more tightly integrated with your counterpart in sales and your counterpart in customer success.
Yes, I sit in as a part of the revenue engine, the international market expansion, if you like, or just a general GTM leadership team. We have our cadences and metrics aligned across all the different functions to ensure that at the metrics level, the priorities are all aligned. And at the program level, there's a forum for us to exchange ideas.
Interesting. So you're saying then that this GTM leadership team, you have shared metrics and the success of the marketing function would be that all of those metrics are hit along with sales and customer success. So it's like you're not pulling in different directions. It's all towards these shared metrics.
You're trying to find the holy grail, Tom. The best way I would answer that question maybe just to share a little bit how marketing is majored. Would that be helpful?
Yes, please.
Yeah. So the company, and I think Seismic is a good example of how the other SaaS companies are doing that as well. So we're not really unique. This is just one example of many. But from the company OKR standpoint, that is very clear. It's a very good way to align your different functions towards a common goal. So that's the starting point. Now, within marketing, what we are looking at now is no longer just about pipe generation, but full funnel motion. What kind of metrics that we measure and track and optimize to deliver that OKR within marketing that might be slightly different from what customer success team will be tracking and what sales teams will be tracking. But certainly the goal and the program and also the GTM motion is very well defined. We've got two funnels. There's inbound funnel, there's ABM funnel. And within the funnel, each of the conversion points are well defined as well and communicated out with our sales counterparts. In that case, the transparency is complete. People can see what we are trying to do. Likewise, I get to see what customer success are tracking, what sales are tracking, and share that knowledge and know-how. And in that way, we're not working in silos. We actually can see why people are doing certain things a certain way and can contribute to each other's work.
That makes sense. Let's look back at 2023, marketing at Seismic. Can you share anything that you learned through that year that now you're implementing in 2024?
2023, it was a pivotal point for many businesses, and they talk about the SaaS crash. When you look at 2023, maybe you want to look at 2022. Before 2023, vendors like my company in the SaaS world were having a boom time. The silver lining of COVID is that it really helped accelerate digital transformation. And because buyers of businesses have no option but to switch to virtual selling overnight. In that world, MarTech and sales tech firms like ours really benefited from this shift. And because these technologies provide operational muscles to enable businesses to effectively sell remotely.
And you, just to jump in, you joined just at the right time because you joined May 2020. I bet you joined and then the revenue graph or the pipeline just went vertical and they were like, winning. What did you do? Like, how did you do this for us? Anyway, back to your answer.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for calling that out. It's part of that because the market is changing. And part of that, I think I'm a very practical person. And thinking back to that, it's almost 4 years ago now, I was very clear that I didn't have the luxury of time to build a funnel from top to bottom. So my strategy at the time was that I need to build the funnel from both ends in. So while I'm building a new market category in Europe, needing to build that awareness, I've always been very careful connecting to what we're talking about before, using digital to harvest in-market opportunities and driving immediate performance into our book. And that focus on revenue has always been my principle and philosophy of being a B2B marketer, regardless whatever metrics out there. For some time, people were focused very much on conversions and or on pipeline volume revenue. But for me, the ultimate North Star has always been net new bookings. And there has been some studies, I think it's from Sixth Sense, recently show that just by having booking goal, businesses were able to increase their performance by 10%. It's just an association, not necessarily causality. But having that mentality driving business outcome does help orient your strategy and how you go to market as a marketer, I think.
And surely that bookings number in 2023 was pretty good?
Yeah, it was pretty good. Yeah.
And so apart from the insight, which I think is a massive one for any marketer, by the way, is to, if you want to succeed in your career, focus on revenue. Was there anything else we learned in 2023?
Personalization was really big. It's a very noisy world. If we can provide that compelling personalized experience consistently time after time, regardless of buyer stage and or buyer profile, then you have a better chance of winning. I'll give you an example. And this is during COVID, one of our clients in the North America territory who works at the wealth management firm. And it was in the middle of a heavy snowstorm. And just imagine that, dark and it's cold and the wind and all that. He got a call from his client asking him about his company's ESG protocol, right? So ESG for wealth managers at the time was really, really hot. So let's just call this guy Paul. Paul has not really had much chance to learn about his company's ESG protocol. But in his basement, he had multiple screens set up like a Bloomberg station. And this is what Paul did. He chit-chatted with his client, asking like how the wife is going, the children's goals, while loading up within Seismic his company's ESG protocol. Now, the sales enablement technology was able to automatically pull out the most relevant content with suggested top track data examples according to the deal factor and the client profile. Paul literally read out the top track. And guess what? Boom, a drop of $3 million of an order just like that.
Really on the call? Signed on that call?
On the call, in the middle of the storm. Paul didn't need to go to a whole day conference to learn about ESG. He was enabled in the moment with content that's relevant to his client's unique profile. That's personalization. And that resulted in a big deal, just like that.
I mean, it's a great story. Shout out to Paul. I mean, it sounded dark in the basement, but then the outcome of the story was pretty amazing. So, okay, personalization was big. What are you then seeing or what are you focused on for marketing / revenue, as we know, at Seismic this year?
What am I focusing on? I feel 2024 feels like a time of recovery. And you know, maybe I'm over optimistic, but we're sort of starting to see, or at least hoping is true, that the market is starting to recover a little bit. The reason why I'm saying that is buyers have been tightening their belts for some time, but they have got to move on. you can only hold back on investment for so long before it starts to hinder your competitiveness and customer experience. So the big thing for me this year is to extend our marketing strategy into a more sophisticated account-based go-to-market motion. Now, going back to what we talked about before, working in close partnership with the whole go-to-market functions to become more intentional in our marketing approach. That makes sense? So like leveraging intent data to identify accounts that have increased urgency to buy, or things like white spacing, new opportunities, and working with customer success team for account expansion.
Makes sense. So when you say be more intentional, I think if like what you're saying is that you have this certain amount of budget or resources in the marketing function, and you just want to be sure that they're being used on opportunities that are going to, or ideally will convert. And that's more of a focus now, because I assume the budgets or the resources that marketing have maybe less this year than they were in 2022, for example.
Yeah, I think you're totally right. The scrutiny on budget is just so heavy at the moment. Intentional in terms of tightened targeting, but also time, the speed to revenue. Unfortunately, we just don't have the luxury to build market for next year. We need to deliver within this financial year. So what do? Right? So you look for signals through maybe intent data or ABM providers to help you pinpoint where the quickest way to revenue is. And that's important. And also working with your sales and customer success team to map out maybe an upgrade path, perhaps cross-sell, upsell path. So you can be really intentional when you talk to the account, specifically aligning your content to maybe a use case in, or maybe a portfolio solution that you are trying to angle for your client to help them grow their business.
Makes sense. Now, I actually haven't talked about this next subject on this podcast yet. I was kind of holding off because, hey, it's all, in my opinion, a lot of the content about this subject is like hype. But now for the first time, we're going to talk about it, and we're going to talk about AI in B2B and in digital moving forward into 2024. And to avoid this just being like the hype stuff that I'm hearing all the time, I would love to know some real use cases that either you're planning with AI for Seismic or that you're already using.
You're absolutely right. A lot of the hype around AI, I mean, the generative AI sort of like burst into the masses consciousness about this time last year, isn't it? But I think AI is now, and we have been using AI a while at Seismic, actually. We use different teams, use AI for different purposes. So if you think about product marketing, customer marketing, digital marketing, or even events, you can use AI to deliver insight-based, personalized recommendations. So, you know, product marketing can do competitive analysis. The SDRs do account research, use AI very quick. Even events, you can use AI to deliver insight-based, personalized experience. And for me, international marketing, we're certainly using AI to rapidly localize websites, local SEOs, rapid A/B testing for websites, competitive analysis and all that sort of thing. And sales enablement, of course, you use AI-powered sales enablement to provide contextual advice for your sellers and enable your sellers to practice at the individual level with their AI to help them perfect their skills and knowledge. And these are the things that we are doing already. Actually, it's worthwhile mentioning that we recently did a research on AI enablement. We found 80% of sales and marketing leaders are expecting revenue growth from AI incorporation into GTM strategies. And on top of that, about 70% of people believe that companies that fail to incorporate AI into their GTM process would fall behind their competitors by 2026. So from my side, I'm just trying to use AI to see where I can remove barriers to my performance, really, things that I can leverage to help me perform better, faster, and more efficiently.
So to be specific about a localization use case, are you, say, creating content in a specific language and that's facilitated by AI in order to increase organic traffic in this specific location?
Yeah, precisely. So Seismic is a US headquartered firm. So our website is built in English to start with. However, we have got presence in Europe. So when you want to have your website localized into German and or French, you don't want to just translate. You actually want to localize, right? So AI can really help you do that contextually and using local SEO research as well to understand what keywords you need to tailor your content tools to. And this is really powerful because before AI, it's very manual, heavy work. And now with AI, it really just helps so much, speed things up, and then becomes a lot more intelligent as well.
Yeah, makes sense. And so whatever small cost you have of that person and the AI that are doing that, you're then able to directly see the increased number of demos or one organic traffic, and then ideally demos from those pages, and then track the ROI on that AI investment, right?
Yeah, and it's not just text, it's videos or your multimedia designs as well. And then you talk about human cost, and I have a point to make here, actually. I think some people talk about, or people are nervous about AI replacing jobs. I'm seeing a slightly different way. I think AI will enable humans to be more effective. So the budget I'm saving from manual tasks, repetitive, frankly, low-value tasks, is now being reinvested into human to validate and further improve the experience on the website. So you remove humans from boring chores and send them to more creative tasks to really enhance your overall experience that only humans can deliver. It's just a different way to look at AI and human relationships. And I really want to emphasize that. I really think AI is here to help us humanize our work and also with our buyers as well. The whole relationship is going to change. I'm hopeful at least that AI is not here to replace our work.
I totally agree. I think that we have like microchips at the bottom, like more like routine non-AI computers. Then slightly above that, we have the AI that can do more complex work, but still without that human touch. And then we're going to have all the humans above that. And so adding that AI slice in there is just going to shift the humans up to do this more A, complex, valuable, but fulfilling work for the team. So totally with it. So I guess then to summarize, you're saying that AI in marketing or AI in B2B is not all hype, and you're already seeing real use cases, and you can see more real use cases coming in 2024.
I think so. Yeah, a seismic is what we are doing today. It is already humanized. I will use the word humanized sales relationship, and it's true. You look at sales meeting preparation. The content comes from marketing. It doesn't come from sales. AI-powered automation, AI-assisted transcription, sentiment analysis and conversation takeaways and all that in the recommendations, all can be easily leveraged to allow the sellers to assimilate what we talk about, assimilation, right, of AI intelligence with their human knowledge about the client. So this is already now. This is not tomorrow. This is actually our clients are using it already, and we are using it internally as well.
Makes total sense. Well, anything else that you're excited about in 2024 in B2B?
I think we're reaching a point with artificial intelligence and generative AI that's going to fundamentally change how we go to market. It changes everything from preparation to diagnosis to how you build relationship, how you automate, and further still, how you predict, recommend, and contextually advise information, both internally and externally. AI is just so powerful. For me, it's not a hype. It's right now. And that really frees up humans to spend time thinking. The amount of time we sit in front of the laptop just trying to create PowerPoint and stuff like that, we're going to be freed up by this technology's power of this technology to have more time to be more creative, to really think about business problems, to be able to find solutions, because we are no longer spending our time typing, trying to find who and who the case study from yesterday, you know?
Yeah. So to summarize, B2B marketers listening, two things. Focus on revenue, embrace AI in 2024.
Yeah. If I may just throw in one more, Tom, can I please? Do I have a three?
Please.
I like to champion for humanity a little bit, and my daughter is going to laugh at me, but I make an effort. Every Monday, I go to a Shakespeare drama class.
Nice.
To have artistic debate with myself. I think for us in technology, in B2B, sometimes in digital as well, sometimes we're so into tech. I just want to champion for that moment of humanity. Let's just don't forget about our creativity.
That is an awesome number three. I wasn't expecting that, but I totally agree. Like, let's step away from the desk and let's be more like human and less like number focused or tech focused with a bit of our time. So Winnie, we're going to link to your LinkedIn profile. We'll obviously link to Seismic. Is there anywhere else we should send people to?
Seismic.com.
Let's have more Robs in their basement closing massive deals.
Hallelujah to that.
Winnie, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
All right, what do we think about those three learnings? So focus on revenue. AI isn't hype. And then also let's embrace our creativity. I love that story about Rob in the basement. And I also loved the focus on creativity, the fact that Winnie goes to the Shakespeare class every Monday. So quick question for you guys. I'm considering rebranding the show. So instead of being Confessions of a B2B Marketer, it might shift, not confirmed yet, to Confessions of a B2B Entrepreneur. The reason being is that I'm actually spending a little bit less of my time doing marketing. As fame has grown, I'm now more of a, I guess you could say, CEO type. And so yes, we have a head of growth, Michael's doing a great job that I manage. I'm not really doing the day-to-day marketing. I'm doing more of the entrepreneur leadership management stuff. And so I'm thinking about rebranding. If anybody has any strong thought for or against that, ping me a message on LinkedIn or drop me an email, tom@fame.so. I'd love to hear because I haven't fully decided if we're going to do that yet. So I'd love your input. And now, of course, shout out to Fame for producing the show. And thank you for listening.